So now we are coming to the last day of this seminar. Everything went fast and quickly. The presentation today, the session number 5 today, Sayyidina is going to give the qualifications of a priest and of a deacon. The qualifications of a priest and of a deacon. After he finishes his session, if you have any questions unanswered from yesterday, so we keep going. Sayyidina, please.
So we are continuing the theme of about priesthood and about the priests, and I will say some words for the deacon. I may repeat myself in this presentation. The subject concerns the qualifications of anyone who comes to a position of spiritual leadership. We already said that one of the functions of the priest is to be a teacher and a preacher. A teacher or a preacher of the Word of God mainly. That is why he must know the Bible and also the fathers of the church. And he must know how the fathers of the church explain the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. He must know also the tradition of the church, church history, the holy liturgy, and the life of the saints. But with all that, knowledge is not enough. The Apostle Paul says to his disciple Timothy, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." 1 Timothy 4:12. And he continues saying, give attention to reading, to preaching, to teaching. 1 Timothy 4:13. And also, take heed to yourself and to doctrine. Take heed to yourself. This is important. Pay attention to yourself, to your behavior, to your life. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. 1 Timothy 4:16. Pay attention to yourself in order to remain with Jesus Christ at every moment. Pay attention also to the doctrine, to teaching, to preaching, because savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. This is in Acts 20:29. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. 1 Peter 3:15. So the priest must exercise self-control in all things. One of the recent fathers was giving a counsel saying, every one of us must have always self-control on himself and prayer, attention to all his words, to all his behaviors. In Arabic, yaqza, al-yaqza was-salat. We have to be always in shubulu, yaqza, in vigilance. He must be kind and listen to others. We have to be trained how to listen to the others. This is important now in the world because we have many distractions and many people are living alone and they need someone to listen to them. He must be kind and listen to others, patient and leader with love. He must imitate Christ, sacrificing himself. That's why Jesus Christ, as we said yesterday, praying for the apostles in the Gospel of St. John, the prayer of Jesus to his Father, saying, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. John 17:19. And for the truth, Jesus said before Pilate, he said, I have come into the world that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. John 18:37. Then Pilate said to him, what is truth? Everyone in the world, from the young people, especially the young people now, they are searching for the truth. They are searching for something which is sincere, which is true in life. What is the truth? Everyone, many are searching not for the truth only, for peace, for joy, as we said. So we, if we believe really that the truth, that peace, that joy is with Christ, we have a great responsibility, first, to live that, to feel that, to search for that in our life, and also to communicate this to others. If we don't find these virtues in our life, we cannot communicate this to others. But here with Pilate, when he asked, what is truth? We know, and Jesus didn't answer. He remained silent, because in another place he said to Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and life." John 14:6. And we continue with the qualifications of the priest. We say in the Holy Liturgy, like today in the liturgy, no one in the beginning of the prayer of the Cherubicon, no one who is bound with the desires and pleasures of the flesh is worthy to approach or draw nigh or to serve Thee, O King of Glory. Also from the counsels of St. Paul to Timothy, his spiritual son, his disciple, he says in the epistle, he says, a bishop. And you know, in Greek, it's the episkopos, and it could be the priest also. A bishop or the priest, we can say, must be blameless. That's why usually we have to ask the people before the ordination of the priest if they are, if they don't have any
impediments.
Yes.
Impediments
against this person. He must be blameless. The husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine. You see, every quality is important. If he has all the qualities except one, it will cause him many troubles. Sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent. This is important. We see it in our, we experience that. If we have anger, it will sometimes destroy all our work. Not violent, not greedy for money. This is also important. And this is difficult, especially if we have obligations, family. But gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. 1 Timothy 3:1-3. Around the same, St. John of Kronstadt advises the priest and says to him, be holy, pure, gentle, humble, merciful, temperate, kind, laborious, patient, and your prayer will penetrate the heavens, will be heard, answered, and fulfilled. This is the experience of one of the fathers of the church. And other virtues of the priest, he must have peace in himself. If he is not peaceful, how can he counsel the others and communicate this peaceful state to the others? Peace in himself, in order to relieve others. Men in our days, they are ta'abineen.
Exhausted.
Yes. Tired. Most of them, when they come to the priest, they have problem, they have difficulty in their life. They are tired. So he needs someone to relieve him, to give him some peace, some rest. And the true peace comes from from internal part of the man. It's not just a words to communicate to others, but it is a certain, maybe a certain regard, a certain peace behavior. We listen and we try to embrace others, to relax him, to give him hope. We cannot do better than that. We cannot the real relief comes finally from God, to relieve others. And the priest also needs equilibrium in his personality. This is also important. It could be, for example, he may have good education. He may have many qualities, but not this this equilibrium in his life, in his personality. Without complex, with open heart, with open mind, he must be ready to accept all situations and not to be angry if someone is relating to him some extraordinary or some bad state of his life. He has to listen, to accept it, to accept anyone as he is, not as he wants to be, and try to help him. The spiritual maturity supposes that he has to confess his mistakes, not to think that he is perfect. No one is perfect except God. He has to confess his mistakes, his sins, and put them in front of his eyes and forgive the mistakes of others. And not to hate anyone, even if he is his enemy or someone who spoke about bad about him. and not to hate anyone and put veto on him. And better for him, generally, mostly, not to interfere in politics, even the politic of the church. He remains the spiritual father of his flock. And he must also avoid intimacy. We say it in Greek, parisia. In Arabic, daily, it's a characteristic lexi. Daily, to be friend with someone, to tell him his secret opinion and thoughts. This is a vice in spirituality. It's another word, parisia, also with God. It's a positive. It's a positive word, but the negative side is not good. It bothers the relation between the spiritual father, the priest, with his flock. And he must have before all things compassion, imitating his Lord. For example, in the story of the widow's son, if you remember, when Jesus said to her, "Do not weep," without compassion, he is not a human being. He must feel with others. No one should assume a place of leadership if he cannot put in practice what he has learned by study. So we have to pay attention when we study, when we read books. We have to pay attention always to choose that which helps us to live better and to help the others to live better. Concerning the life of the shepherd, he must not relax his care for the internal life while he is occupied with external things. In other words, he must pay attention not to be taken wholly, completely with the external preoccupations and lose his mind and his mission as a priest, as a spiritual man. The spiritual director, when we are leading some activity, yes, he should always be the first in service. This is humility. It helps very much, especially with the youth, when they see their priest working with them, even playing with them, if it's possible for him. From time to time, not always. The flock will follow the voice and the behavior of its shepherd, his example, rather than his words, loving heavenly things. Now, other idea. Now we live in a period of technology, and we know that this technology is invading the world everywhere, and the priest cannot avoid it. He is obliged to use it. But nothing, as I was saying to Sayyidina Joseph just at the beginning, nothing can replace meeting his flock face to face. I don't know your opinion, your experience, but I suppose that many relations are made through telephone or the internet. But we have, as in the seminar, to meet ourselves, each other, face to face. And this is also important with our parishioners. If it is possible and if it's important, we have to go to them, to their home, to their workplace, and see them personally, especially when there is a great problem. We cannot solve problems only by telephone. The Good Shepherd, says St. John 10:3, in the chapter 10, when he speaks about the shepherd, he says, "The Good Shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He shepherds them by his love and his honesty." St. John of Kronstadt says, I'm telling that once more, the priest is above all and before all a man of prayer. What does it mean, a man of prayer? It means that he is always linked with God, that he appears mostly covered by the grace of God. He is from the world, and at the same time, he is out of the world. His dialogue, his style, his appearance, his speech, his language are in a spiritual manner. In another word, he must appear as a human being, but spiritualized, something new, something other than the human must appear from his regards, from his behavior, from his words, in a spiritual manner, looking always to high, without leaving the ground, pushed always by the zeal for Christ and his love for mankind. Nowadays, this thing, as says the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the sting of death is sin. And one of our recent fathers Father Paisios, if you heard about him. He said, sin is becoming a moda today. These who are stung by it die, broken by spiritual thieves. Ephesians 6:12. The priest looks to them as a compassionate physician with compassion, especially to the young people. The spiritual father offers to God prayers, intercessions on their behalf. He should not want to become intercessor before he has himself been filled with the Holy Spirit. I think I spoke enough about the virtues and qualification of the priest these 3 days. Now, for the deacon, I will give only briefly, but only I will insist of one thing which is important in the life of the deacon in his service, because he is before all a servant in the church. And in our country, generally speaking, the deacon waiting always to become the priest, to become priest. I think here it's little different, because I see deacons who stay for all their life as servants, as deacons. The responsibilities of the deacon, we didn't experience enough all their duties, all what they can offer to in the church. We have to work much in the sense. I will mention one thing which is precious in the life of a deacon. I experienced that to return back in the monasteries. I lived in a monastery in Mount Athos for 2 years and 3 months without going out of the monastery. And I lived with many monks, saint persons. You know that the tradition there for the monk, he doesn't want to become priest, even deacon. He, generally speaking, the monk wants to live in disappearance. That's why he doesn't want to become a priest. I lived in a monastery where they had 40 monks, and two of them are priests in order to serve the liturgy. They are obliged to have priests in the monastery. But this was something which is general. Now, things are changing with the many young people are going to Mount Athos to become monks. There is now around 1,600. And many monasteries are they become priests, monks becoming priests. So we have enough ordinations. Why this this desire not to appear too much? Because the deacon, he is the servant, like we say in French, par excellence. You understand?
Yes.
Before all, he can imitate Christ more than any other. That's why, especially in Mount Athos, they have a sort of shi'ar, a sort of slogan, which is common. And it's said in Greek, Nazi, for the one who knows Greek, Nazi kanis stinafania, afania, fania, disappearance, fano, appear, afania, it's a prefix, not to appear, to live in disappearance. That is why a deacon who remains servant all his life has a great reward from God. He is imitating Christ, who says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Matthew 20:28. And whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Matthew 20:26. And I finished.